Today I'm going to talk to you about the Norwegian housing regime in a comparative perspective. I'm also going to discuss if it's the best of all possible worlds, or if there is something that is left to be desired, and maybe there's something rotten in the whole housing regime that we need to change, and maybe change fast given recent developments. But of course, I'm a researcher, not a politician. So I'll generally ask questions and not provide too many answers in this very short 12-minute lecture. So first I'm going to talk to you about what I mean when I talk about a housing regime. And then I'm going to talk to you about the Norwegian housing regime in the post-war era in 2 minutes, if that's possible. So you have to bear with me. Then I'm going to discuss if we're actually living in a housing regime that is sort of a Panglossian world of the best of all possible worlds. Or do we have contemporary challenges and maybe also contemporary policy responses that need to fix what is broken in the Norwegian housing regime today? So a housing regime or a housing system, I define that very simply as the organization of production, consumption and exchange of housing in a society. And of course, this regime and its general features may differ considerably through time. And Norway is no exception to that rule. The Norwegian housing regime, after the first years of post-World War II reconstruction, was a classic social democratic regime. It was based on state-planned, subsidized, needs-based housing construction. You know, we built loads of large residential areas and small cities that were planned and were like frugally distributed between a growing population. There were many kids running around in that period. We also had non-profit providers. Generally, housing was not produced to make a buck, but was produced to fulfill needs. For instance, the large cooperative housing providers, they built at self-cost, which meant that they sold homes at the price they, at production prices. What it cost to produce was also very much the price that was paid by consumers. We also had very regulated housing markets. In this period, it was not considered good to earn money on other people's housing needs. And particularly in the first post-war years, there was a very strict there were also strict rent regulations and very strict regulations on sale of homes. Then we had a messy phase from the year I was born in 1981 to 2004. This whole housing regime went through a major transformation. And I would say that this is one of the most dramatic policy changes in at least Norwegian post-war history. Housing markets were deregulated. The housing bank, which was extremely important for the financing of homes for all of the people in the post-war era, was transformed into a bank for disadvantaged groups. We also had a gradual transition to a more market-sensitive, market-based housing construction, where the private firms took the lead. So in the last 20 years, we have lived in a liberal housing regime. Completely different from the post-war era. We have market-based housing construction. We have targeted state support to vulnerable groups. And by the way, this support is not very generous. it's limited compared to, for instance, the support given to low-income groups in Sweden and Denmark, especially if we look at the costs the state or the money the state uses on housing allowances. We have now almost solely for-profit providers, and we have an increasing emphasis on home ownership. We have many homeowners, and different from many other countries that try to subsidize the homes of middle class, we also have a very active policy of promoting home ownership to low-income groups, which is rather particular for Norway. So, the Norwegian housing regime today is not all bad. We're building on a very proud legacy of post-war housing policy. And in some ways, one could be forgiven of thinking that this is the best of all possible worlds. We have a high share of homeowners. Almost or a little more than 76% of us own our own homes, and we arguably have no generation rent. Young people generally buy homes at the same period as the parent generation. There has been a little bit of a reduction in the purchases of first-time purchases of young people, but that is also related to that people today tend to stay longer in education, tend to form families later, and perhaps have a little bit more fun for a longer time. But we haven't seen the same tendency as in the UK and other contexts where young people increasingly are excluded from home ownership. We also have very high housing standards. We are good skiers, good cross-country runners, good track and field competitors. We collect medals in world championships and Olympics. And we also are very close to the top when it comes to housing standards. And we are almost European champions when it comes to avoiding really deprived housing or avoiding severe housing deprivation. There are very few leaky roofs in Norway. We also generally have residential areas that are safe and of good quality. On the other hand, one can also say that something is increasingly rotten in the Norwegian housing regime. Inequality is a real problem, and we are one of the most indebted countries in the world. And a lot of that debt is homeowner debt. There are not a lot of people that own their homes outright, particularly not the young generation. So we're very sensitive to interest rate changes. And of course, we fear that this mountain of debt, if it all goes wrong in the housing market, if prices start to fall, the effects will ripple through the economy and cause unemployment. We also know that housing wealth is a large source of inequality. And scholars from Statistics Norway have shown that if you take housing wealth into account, the value of imputed rent and the value of capital gains of homeowners, the Norwegian inequality increases a lot. The housing market is also an inequality generator, and sadly it's the fact that those living in what was originally the most expensive parts of the housing stock, they've made more from their housing than other people that own more modestly priced homes. And of course, the inequality that is generated in the housing market increases inequality between renters and homeowners, and increases inequality between the central parts of the country and rural parts, where housing prices, of course, are much lower. Currently, we also have what you could call an underinvestment crisis. Housing construction is limited, and that is a real concern for affordability in the future. We also have a somewhat neglected rental sector. We have challenges in the social rented housing sector, which is very small. We have challenges related to low standards and discrimination, even though I must say that many tenants are satisfied with their homes. We also have soaring rents, particularly in Oslo and Stavanger, Sandnes region. And this is a real worry, particularly for low-income groups. So maybe we are approaching an underinvestment and affordability crisis in Norway in the future. We have higher interest rates than we used to. We got really used to low interest rates. Took many of us took up large loans. But interest rates threaten to make homeownership increasingly unaffordable. We also, interest rates spill over into the rental market because people that buy homes to let out, they pass on increasing lending costs to their tenants. So we have seen a dramatic rise in rents in central areas during the last year. And when you Combine that with increasing prices on essential commodities like food, then the weakest groups are hit dramatically. And we see that housing costs, the people that have problems with a heavy housing cost burden, is increasing. Perhaps the problems in Norway are smaller because we're, in a sense, saved by the past. We have the legacy of cooperative, low-cost, non-profit production in the post-war years, which means that people with modest incomes have the older parts of the cooperative stock in some cities where it's easier to enter and become a homeowner. We have the legacy of the housing bank. We had enormous investments in quite good quality, but also modest housing that I think also is a part of the reserve of modestly priced housing in Norway today. We've also had, we've been very fortunate with a strong and relatively equitable economic development so far. The question is, what about the future? And I'm going to end with some questions here, because today in our liberal regime, we do not have a reliable source of low-cost, high-quality dwellings. And of course, housing is a commodity where the production in 1 year has great consequences over time. It is, in the future, we're going to live in the housing produced today. So you could ask, do we need to change our approach to housing once again? Are we going to see a comeback for planning and the housing bank? Because we need a more stable and less volatile supply of housing. Because currently it's lagging, and maybe we need to introduce an element of stability again. Do we need to go back to more regulated markets to protect consumers, perhaps particularly renters? Do we need to tax more to combat housing wealth inequality? Or are we going in the other direction with even more market-led development and perhaps increased focus on targeted support to low-income groups to support those that cannot take responsibility for their own housing situation in the market? Unfortunately, all systems and all system shifts face their own problems. Maybe if we regulate markets too tight, then the supply will lag. We will create more problems than we actually solve. I'm happy that I will not, at least not alone, have to fix these problems because they are very complex. But my prediction that I'm 100% sure of is that housing will remain a sore spot and a source of trouble for all thoughtful social democrats, because no matter what direction we will head in the future, there will be problems when it comes to distributing the profits from housing, and also how we distribute floor space and quality in a society where we have high ambitions when it comes to efficiency and equity. So that's all I want to say. Good luck with the rest of the conference. Thank you.